Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast that gives you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week. From movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, it's forewarning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast. Go watch it and join us again for the fun. Along with that, explicit content warning. We'll probably be cussing and stuff. So, you know, watch or listen at your own discretion.
Yeah, do that. We're sick. Also live on Facebook and Periscope right now.
Sick, dude.
Which, as Scott says, is another reason you should be following us on all social media.
Yes. Yeah, if you're not already following us on all social media, you should probably be doing that, man. You're missing out on some good stuff, like, you know, Twitter provides Periscope, you know, it's directly uploaded to Twitter. Facebook Live, you know,
Also, I mean, Snapchat, right?
Yeah, so something like
if
that.
You Snapchat us, like, videos with questions or whatever, I'll play them live on the podcast, and we'll talk about it, answer your questions.
Sick.
So, yeah, just like right now, Facebook, Periscope, if anybody's tuning in and has questions, shoot them to us, you know? We'll be more than happy to talk about it, so.
That's what's up, man. So, how are you doing this week?
I fell today.
Yeah, you did. That was hilarious, dude.
I've been falling all day, guys.
All day?
Physically and emotionally. It's been a roller coaster.
Tell me more.
Last weekend, I was offered a job, and it's a pretty good job. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll think about it. And I was communicating with them and doing research, making sure it's all legit. Hello, Ben. I'm Jack, whatever. Hi, how are you? On Periscope. Anyway, so I was like looking into it, you know, pretty much decided to put in my 2 weeks at work. I'm taking this new job. They started sending me instructions of things I need to do, and they're like, all right, we're opening the office in a couple weeks. We're going to need you to pick up some supplies and book hotel reservations for execs and things like that. So if you could do that, that would be great. And they're like, we're going to send you a check so you have the money to do this. I was like, all right, cool. I shouldn't, like I had a bad feeling about it when the guy called me on Thursday because they, you know, obviously they sent the check and had tracking and whatever, and they're like, why didn't you call us and tell us you got the check, right? And I was like, well, you see, the thing is, no. I told him, oh, I knew because I had an email confirmation, but I didn't know I needed to call you and tell you that because you probably got the same email confirmation. But pretty much all I told him was, well, I'm at work right now. I'm not at home, you know, I'll be home tomorrow, and when I'm home, I'll let you know, and I'll let you know I got the check. And so I did, you know, and I got home yesterday, and I emailed him, and I was like, hey, I got it, I'll deposit it first thing tomorrow morning. So I go to the bank this morning to deposit the check, and they look at me very incriminatingly because the check was counterfeit. Okay, guys?
Interesting. Tell me more.
So, like, I didn't give the guy any, like, super personal information. He doesn't have my social security number or anything, so that's really good. But, like, you know, and I've been asked by people because I've been telling everyone who I told I got a job, and, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why would they go through all this trouble to send you a fake check? And I think the real purpose of it is that by sending a fake check, if I get it to go through my bank without them catching it and I spend the money on whatever they want me to spend it on, then I'm the one breaking the law, right? So they can use me to essentially buy them whatever they want. And I think that's what it was. Yeah. I mean, they went through a lot of effort. Like, the company seemed legit. They have a website and everything set up. I even read, like, there was one review of a person who worked for the company. I don't know. Maybe this is just somebody who set up this fake thing in that company's name, which would be defamation. So, like, whoever's doing it, I mean, it could even just be the company being, I don't know, trying to break the law. I don't know. But it's not good.
Nope. Not good at all, bro.
So, yeah. So I had to.
Over here trying to cash some fake checks, Christian.
I had to rescind
you,
my 2 week notice at work. And hopefully everything will work out. But keep me in your prayers.
Keep me. What the hell? Shut the fuck up, dude. What the fuck, man? Keep me in your prayers. Yeah, dude, because you're a religious guy. Yeah, sick one, dude.
I don't have to be religious. If it makes you guys feel better, if you're religious, it makes you feel good to pray for people, you can pray for me. I'll accept your prayers.
I bet you will.
So,
Wait. We got to tell them about the story how you fell down.
Oh, yeah. So, we bought cleats because we play soccer on the weekends now. It's a thing. And it's really fun, actually.
It's a thing. No, but seriously.
Last Sunday, we went and we were the only people who were not wearing cleats. And we were like I slipped at one point and everybody thought I broke my, like I tore my ACL or something. Like, it wasn't that bad, honestly, but you know,
it was pretty bad, man.
Yeah. So we decided we need some cleats. So we went and bought cleats yesterday and today we were out breaking them in, practicing a little bit. And Scott hit his ball sack, so we decided.
Oh, yeah, dude, just throw that in there.
We decided.
Dude, that should hurt, dude.
We should take off.
So, like, yeah, I went to go kick the soccer ball, right? And then my nuts slapped against one leg, and then ricocheted and slapped against the other leg. Yeah. And then fucking, like, my legs came together, one fucking striking fatal blow. And yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, dude, tell me more.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, dude, I was down, dude. That hurt, man.
Yeah.
So wait, continue the story.
Yeah, so we decided after, you know, doing nothing for like 5 minutes, we should just leave. So, you know, we're walking toward my car. So, yeah. Anyway, I was walking toward the car and like the ball was rolling in front of me and I went to go get the ball and I stepped from the grass onto the sidewalk and my cleat didn't like that very much and I slipped and fell completely on my buttocks and back area.
Dude,
and
it was so
Scott caught it. As soon as I was falling, he turned around and saw me falling and just started dying, you know. And I
didn't check on him, though.
Like, at first, like, my knee that's been bothering me, like, hurt a little bit. And then, like, I sat there and I heard Scott laugh, and so I started laughing. Like, I don't know. I can't control myself when it comes to laughter sometimes.
I can't control myself when it comes to laughter, when it comes to other people falling or getting
hurt.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the funniest thing to me. I don't know why.
It's
like,
right.
Especially Christian getting hurt. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
No, but, like, okay, from my point of view, all I heard was, so this is the sound I heard. I was like, shh, like that. Like, it was like his, like, cleats like skating across the ground, across the cement.
Yeah, no worries.
And so then that made me turn around and I just see him like kind of like falling and shit, dude.
Like it was slow-mo in your mind?
Just like, oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, your name's Jackoff 247. Yeah, dude.
You jack off that much, dude? You never stop.
Oh, 24/7. I said 247. I'm so retarded. go right. Fuck yourself, dude.
He is 24/7.
Yeah, 24/7, dude. Shit. Tell me more, right. Bro.
So
come on, jack off 24/7. Tell me more. Yeah. Don't be scared.
So we've been
what is that little box on like the screen?
That is our location. I don't know why it's on
there. Dude, what the hell? Why did you enable that?
I don't know.
Somebody's gonna find us. So while we're broadcasting this, somebody could be like, all right, I'm going to go shoot these guys. And then everyone on fucking online will see it. Thanks, dude.
You want me to take it off there?
Yes.
All right.
The hell's wrong? All right. Well, anyways, guys, while Christian does that, I'm going to read the first piece of news because I don't think we have anything else to really talk about, do we? Do we? No, yes.
Just to let you know, Power Rangers came out this weekend, so if you guys are interested in that, go see it. Yeah, I don't think anything else.
Thanks, dude.
So, yeah, let's get into the news.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian. Back to you.
Thanks, mate. All right. So, first bit of news. Sony Pictures has plans.
Oh, yeah? Tell me more.
For a Silver Sable and Black Cat movie.
Oh, thanks for telling me more.
Yeah, no problem. So, they say it's unclear exactly what Sony Pictures is planning, but a cinematic Spider-Verse appears to be developing independently of the MCU for some reason.
Okay, dude.
So,
yeah.
We got an announcement last week that Venom is a movie happening in 2018.
Yeah.
And now it appears there's a new movie in the work that will team Spider-Man's Black Cat and Silver Sable. Plans for this movie have apparently been in the works for some time. Westworld's Lisa Joy Nolan was previously developing the script. In today's update, sets comic book and screenwriter Chris Yost up to rewrite. His previous big screen credits include Thor: The Dark World and the upcoming Thor: Ragnarok. He's also well known for co-creating X-23, who made her big screen debut in Logan. Yeah, we knew that, guys. So, created by Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz, Silver Sable made her comic book debut in 1985's The Amazing Spider-Man number 265. Hailing from the fictional European nation Simcaria, Sable is an expertly trained mercenary whose company, Silver Sable International, funds a team called the Wild Pack. Although the Wild Pack was founded by Sable's father, she herself became its leader. Black Cat, meanwhile, dates back to 1979's Amazing Spider-Man number 149, who I actually own that one, guys.
Oh, sick, dude!
Created by Marv Wolfman and Keith Pollard, Felicia Hardy is an expert burglar. Who has the ability to manipulate probabilities, effectively bringing bad luck to those around her. Sorry. I just thought of turd burglar.
I just thought about turd burglar.
Felicity Jones.
Come on, Christian, grow up, dude.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 character was planned to as an alternate version of Hardy. Boris Kitt, who wrote the Hollywood Reporter article, took to Twitter to make clear that neither Venom nor this Silver Sable and Black Cat movie will be set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where Tom Holland now plays the web-slinger, because that's a thing apparently we do now. Yeah. So, are you excited about the prospect of a Black Cat Silver Sable movie? You're not at all?
No.
Would you be if it took place in the MCU?
Yep.
So is that why you're not excited about it?
Yeah. All right.
Fair enough. Your
Moving
turn.
Moving on. Michael Shannon, frontrunner to play Cable in Deadpool 2. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Deadpool 2 is getting closer to casting. Much sought after role of Cable and top of the studio's wish list is none other than General Zod himself, Michael Shannon from Man of Steel and Midnight Special. Dude, I don't even want it. Okay, really, dude? That's who you're gonna cast? I'll finish this piece of news. Oh my god, I'm gonna go off. An intense two-time Oscar nominee, Revolutionary Road, and last year's Nocturnal Animal, Shannon is currently currently the top choice pending scheduling, though Stranger Things actor David Harbour and several others are also in the short list. Kyle Chandler was previously rumored for the role, but no longer in contention. Liam Neeson, really? Really?
I think Liam Neeson could be funny. He'd be like,
special set of skills.
My dad was Scott Summers, and I will find you.
Right? Dude, this guy is like a fucking shit actor.
Really? You don't like him? Or is it just you didn't like Man of Steel?
I mean...
Like, I talked a little bit with our friend Daniel this week about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, I think he could be good as whatever. I'm still, you know, rooting for that Lang guy, Stephen Lang. I think he'll be good. I think he'd be a good Cable. Who do you think would be a good Cable? Liam Neeson? He played Qui-Gon Jinn. I mean, he could be Cable.
Yeah, he did.
So.
You know who else Liam Neeson played?
Aslan.
True.
All right. Yep. So, writer confirms Deadpool 3 and X-Force are two separate films. Moving on. I'm just kidding.
That's pretty much it.
So this is what Rhett Reese had to say. I also think Deadpool 2 is working in an expansive way towards X-Force, which will really be more of an ensemble, but then that will allow us to do both X-Force, an X-Force movie and a Deadpool 3, which actually contracts back down. I think we'll be able to take the two paths, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's what all comic book movies do. They do their individual things, and then they do their team things, right?
So. Yes. Yeah, I mean, Deadpool is just copying, you know, the MCU formula. I mean, it works, and it's understandable.
Yeah, unlike DC, who we don't really know what they're doing.
All right. So there was a new image that surfaced online that we posted on our Instagram. So if you guys aren't following us, you guys should probably be doing so. What are you guys doing with your lives?
Yeah.
Check out Felicity Smoke's new look for Legends of Tomorrow. Arrow's Felicity Smoke has a brand new look for her upcoming cameo in the CW show's Legends of Tomorrow. Arrow and Legends executive producer Mark Guggenheim spoke to Deadline about the surprise cameo on the show at the DC TV Paley Fest. Sure. Event last week, saying we've kept it under wraps, but there's a surprise cameo, surprise crossover moment in the
penultimate.
That's the word. Wednesday night, Guggenheim tweeted some concept art for the cameo showing Felicity Smoke played by Emily. Ooh, that's my girl.
Yeah, it's not important. Don't worry. Sick, dude. There's the pictures. We have them, so we can see them.
Oh, yeah, dude. So what do you think of this picture?
Looks to me like Spoiler from Batman.
Spoiler.
Stephanie Brown.
Spoiler.
I like it. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. Makes sense, dude. She's going to be like some alternate, like, hacktivist.
Yeah.
Like, doing, like, real things with her life.
She's Sombra.
Yes! Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Okay, so anybody that does not know who Sombra is, she's an Overwatch character, you know, on a video game that she hacks stuff, and she's super cool and super badass and one of my favorite characters.
And then this little shit kid is like, that Sombra's just going to get hooked by Roadhog and die.
Too bad I carried the team, bro.
Yeah, for real. So with the end of the saga looming, the future of Star Wars is now being planned. Famously envisioned by George Lucas to span 9 saga chapters, the Star Wars saga will reach that once envisioned as the penultimate chapter later this year with Rian Johnson's Last Jedi. Star Wars fans need to not to fret, however, as Disney CEO Bob Iger announced during a presentation at USC that the future of Star Wars is currently being planned with an eye towards the next 15 years. We're starting talk about what could happen after episode 9. He told The Hollywood Reporter about what could be another decade and a half of Star Wars movies. When Iger says Star Wars stories, it's a little unclear if he means that all post-episode 9 films will receive the Rogue One subtitle, a Star Wars story, or if he's using a more general term and that we might see some kind of new saga begin.
Iger, Old Republic.
Word.
Public.
Iger also reiterated that the recent passing of Carrie Fisher will not impact her role in The Last Jedi. We had to deal tragedy at the end of 2016, he said. Carrie appears throughout episode 8. We are not changing episode 8 to deal with her passing. Her performance remains as it is in 8. In Rogue One, we had some digital character. We are not doing that with Carrie. And I read an interview a couple weeks ago also where the guy who did Rogue One was saying future Star Wars films that aren't part of the regular episodes will not rely on legacy characters in the future.
Well, that's good. So, I mean, okay, so what do you think about that piece of news? Like, do you think that we have the chance to finally get what everybody really wants and to move on from the original saga and just go into the Old Republic finally?
You know, I really hope, but I highly doubt it. I think that Disney's going to look and say, well, look at what they did with Knights of the Old Republic video games. We've already given them part of that. Like, I think they're going to focus on something else. I hope we go to the Old Republic because I think people care more about that with the Jedi and the Sith and all these things than moving forward to where we are now. Like, I think people care much less about the idea of the New Republic in the future, you know, and things like that. I just don't think people care about that, you know, especially if you're not going to focus on like the kids of Luke and Leia and all this stuff. If you're going to focus on things that have nothing to do with any of the legacy characters, any of the Skywalkers, anything like that, then nobody's going to care about that. Like, go back to the past, do Darth Bane, do Reaven, do whatever else, but don't sit there and try to make movies that nobody cares about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so much source material to play from for Star Wars, and I think if they don't take the opportunity to do it, just exactly that, just a missed opportunity, really.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. There is 6 movies, or 6 movie story arcs planned for Power Rangers sequels. It appears that there is not only one Power Rangers sequel in the works, but as many as 5. In the interview with Variety, Ham Sabin, founder of Saban Entertainment, which produces and distributes Power Rangers TV series, said, we already have six movie story arcs, the 1993 TV series, The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, based on Japanese show Super Sentai, has been on TV for, oh my god, dude, I don't know what he's even going on. It's been on TV for a while, guys, for some decades and shit.
Yes.
The current film stars Dacre Montgomery, RJ Seiler, Naomi Scott, Becky G, Ludi Lin, Elizabeth Banks, Brian Cranston, and Bill Hader. In the interview, Saban says, "This film is successful as I hope it."
So you want me to read it?
No.
Okay.
As I hope on March 24th. On March 25th, we'll have the first story meeting for movie number two. Here's the official synopsis. Saban's Power Rangers follow five ordinary high school kids who must become something extraordinary when they learn that their small town of Angel Grove and the world is on the verge of being obliterated by an alien threat chosen by destiny. Our heroes quickly discover that they are the only ones who can save the planet, but to do so, they will have to overcome their real-life issues and band together as the Power Rangers before it is too late.
Very good, very good.
I finished strong, guys.
No, that
I don't
was good.
Know what's going on. Dude, it's the names, dude. I always get messed up. Like, when you start doing, like, a bunch of weird names in my articles.
I'm sorry. To wrap up the news, just some things that aren't worth reading full articles. There were some Spider-Man posters that show him on Avengers Tower. I wrote Stark Tower. It's Avengers Tower. And there's, like, one with him on it, one with it in the background, one where he's laying on the ground. And then there's one with him on a sign. There's photos of the Vision, who's going to be in Infinity War. That is now confirmed. I don't know if we ever doubted that. And now we must talk about the Justice League trailer.
What'd you think, bro?
I think I like most of it. Like, we've been talking, obviously, about DC for a long while and how we're not excited for most of their films and how dysfunctional they are. And, you know, and it's not just our opinion. I mean, you see it in all the news we cover, how many different writers they have for one film, how many rewrites they have, how many times they need to push them back and all this stuff, all this drama surrounding it. And maybe it's just the news that's blowing it up, but, I mean, there's no other way to frame new writer, right?
Right,
so,
right.
I don't know. Like, I think Justice League could potentially be very good. I like a lot of the characters that are, like, from what we've seen, like Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Aquaman looks great, The Flash looks great, but Batman, Batman doesn't look so great.
He doesn't look great. You know, just the things that he said about himself, like, is super annoying. Like, how he's like, you know, Barry Allen was joking around with him. He's like, oh, well, what's your superpower then? He's like, I'm rich.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's like a long running thing between, like, comic book fans that, you know, Batman doesn't have powers or whatever. And it's like, for him to actually say that and shit, like, just, like, kind of pisses me off.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have any quote-unquote superpowers, but he does. His superpower is his morality, right? It's who he is as a person, and that's what DC has failed to really do with any of their characters, and understand who they are and what they stand for. And that's one of the most annoying things, so.
Yeah. And then the fact that in the movie, he shows up to Barry Allen's house or lair, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, is trying to recruit him as the Flash, and then he throws a batarang at him, and then Barry Allen goes into, like, what would it be assumed, you know, his super speed or some sort of, like, I don't know, whatever mode you would want to call that.
Slow-mo super speed.
Yeah, something like that. And he catches it, and he's like, oh, you're the Batman. And he's like, yep. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to annoy you. Like, that's, like, the one thing he protects.
Yep.
You know, at least at first. Like, he always plans for the worst. So why would you just come out and tell people who you are, you know?
One good thing was Aquaman. I felt like he was pretty good and looked pretty menacing as Arthur Curry in the trailer. I thought that was pretty good. I feel like from the looks of it, it looks like, yet again, you know, the super ridiculously dark tone of a movie, and it just looks like way over CGI'd as well.
Yeah, like
every scene.
The parademons. wow, very CGI. Like, even the effects, like, the effects you see of, like, Aquaman jumping and stuff is so overdone, almost, you know?
Yeah.
We saw Mera briefly. Like, that looked super CGI. Like, you couldn't even really tell she was in water. It looked like she was just floating in air. Like, that's how CG it was, you know?
Yeah, it's like, there's, like, movies where, like, you wonder if, like, the city and the landscape is, like, a set of some sort or, like, a live, you know, place. Or is it just all CGI? Like, there's no question in my mind that all this was done on a green screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, and when you watch thing like movies like The Avengers, like especially Age of Ultron, there is a lot of CGI. Like, you watch scenes, you're like, you can see where they'd have to put it in, but you don't think about it because of how well they do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like DC is, like, overdoing it almost.
I mean, we'll see. We always go into these movies with, like, an open mind and just kind of hope for the best. But, I mean, I don't really have too much confidence in what DC can accomplish. So, we'll just have to wait and see when the movie comes out, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be, like, one or two more trailers.
I mean, it's entirely possible that we just love the movie, too. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we're just not excited for it at this point. And I know there are people out there that are losing their minds, you know, because of how great this trailer was and how nobody could say they disliked it, because I've seen comments like that. But
really?
Oh, yeah.
Thank God I haven't seen those.
Yeah, we are unenthusiastic, to say the least, but that we will still see it, guys. So don't worry. Don't worry.
Yep. All right, so we're going to move into our shows now. This week we have Supergirl, The Flash, Legends Tomorrow, and Arrow. Gotham still on a break. You know, talking about that break, it was so funny. I seen on Facebook, on Gotham's, like, Facebook page, they posted saying, like, you know, don't worry, we're going to return soon.
Only one month left.
Yeah, and then it, like, on the picture that they showed, it said only 1 month left. Like, really? Like, oh, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the heads up, bro.
Thanks, you know, for the warning a month in advance, you fuckface.
Yeah, so we're going to get into Supergirl now. Supergirl, Season 2, Episode 16, Star-Crossed. Supergirl goes on high alert when a new villain comes to National City. Meanwhile, Wynn's new girlfriend, Lyra, gets him in trouble with the law, and the Music Meister attacks.
So, what'd you think?
I'm gonna let you take this one. I know you have a rant prepared.
Alright. Are you guys ready to riot? I'm just kidding. Alright, well, this episode was pretty good, although I really didn't care about the Wynn and Lyra arc too much.
Mm-hmm.
In the story, I thought it was not really needed. I felt like they could have filled the episode with more stuff on Mon-El's parents, you know.
Oh, yeah, that stuff was great.
I thought, you know, they could have done so much more with it all. And I felt like the fact that they added the Lyra and Wynn story, you know, and turns out, you know, she's been playing him or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like none of that stuff was really necessary. What did it accomplish at the end of the day? Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Well, because it was supposed to send the message to Supergirl that, you know, although
people make mistakes and lie to you, but
exactly. And then she decided anyways that she wasn't going to forgive Mon-El, and then she's going to break up with him, and she's going to destroy all of our hearts.
See, I've been telling Scott for a while that
I don't like it.
He can get rid of some of his anger by learning how to do, like, scream vocals, and he just did a little bit of that there.
Sorry, guys.
I don't know why he's not open to it more, but, you know.
Well, whatever, dude.
Like, you can be better than me, and I'm not very good, so.
Maybe. Hey, yeah. We'll see. I'll try it out someday.
Yeah, just take my place in everything.
I'll replace you in every facet of this world.
Yeah, so, I mean, it confirmed 100% we were right about him being the Prince of Daxam. Kara, she says it changes everything. It changes nothing. Like,
Well, I mean, in her perspective, in some people's perspective, like, lying is just a deal breaker. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If you lie about who you are, you know, and then, like, he had the chances, you know, tell her or whatever. But, you know, he obviously does have his reasons. And maybe she should have been understanding and stuff and, like, gave him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, since they've met, he's been a better person.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, like, yes, when you live in a black and white world, you know, it's like there are deal breakers. But to me, the idea of things being one way or the other.
You should keep this. This is evidence.
Things being one way or the other, things being black and white is a child kind of way of looking at the world. It's very immature to think of things as black and white because reasons do matter. Reasons change everything, you know?
True. True story. So, tell it, brother. Preach it.
Yeah,
tell me more.
No, I mean, that could just be, you know, that I honestly believe that's true. I mean, I can't prove that to be the case, but yeah, that's just my thoughts. So the Lyra story is whatever. Yeah, I didn't really
care
too much.
What'd you think about, you know, the first appearance of the Music Meister?
I like it. Yeah, I like the Music Meister. I like him even more after the Flash episode, but.
True, but we'll get into that to us in just a second.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Mon-El's decision to stay on Earth? And
I love it. I love it. I think Mon-El is very ashamed of who he was, and that's why he didn't tell Kara, is because he was ashamed of what he'd done and who he was on Daxam.
Uh-huh.
And because he's so ashamed, when you're embarrassed by something or when you're ashamed of something, you don't want to tell people. It's embarrassing, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
And I think it's hard for him, you know, it's easier for him to just think she won't find out and whatever. We have a friend who tends to think that people won't find out things, so he lies about it.
Yeah.
You know, and we try to tell him it's always better to be honest because, if you think someone won't find out, they will find out.
True.
So, obviously, he should have been honest. He did something wrong, but he's ashamed of what he did on Daxam, who he was. And I think he feels bad for not telling Kara, but he was so afraid to lose her to something that he's not anymore, you know? But now it's harder for him to get her back.
What up, Thug Life?
1089.
How you doing, Brit?
You doing good? I like.
See me on the streets, dog.
Don't see me on the streets. I prefer to handle my conflicts with words.
I bet you do.
See,
I like to use words, and then I like to use my fists. What's wrong with that?
One reason that it's not good is because you can get arrested, and I want you to be successful in life and not have misdemeanors or felonies holding you back from your full potential.
Shut the hell up and smoke. All right, let's go to grading.
I give this episode like a 9.
I would give it like an 8.2.
Okay.
Right. I think it was a great episode and all, but like, obviously I don't agree with Supergirl's decision, to stay mad at Mon-El.
No, that was rude. That was just rude. What's up, T-Will06?
What up, bruh?
We're talking about Supergirl right now.
Yeah, and then obviously I didn't care for the Wynn and Lyra arc, so.
Yeah, she broke his heart, man. And then they got back together, so whatever.
I mean, Wynn was pretty great in that acting.
Wynn
like,
is great.
Was it just me, or like, did it look like her like aesthetics and stuff were like off this episode? Like her like latex and stuff like that. It looked like you could see like the crease, like the edge, like where you would pull it off.
That's possible. Maybe they didn't blend the makeup very well. But we're talking about Wynn, and that makes me really want to talk about the Flash. So let's get into it.
The Flash. Alright guys, The Flash Season 3 Episode 17, Duet. The Music Meister sends Supergirl and The Flash to a world where life is a musical, and the only way to escape is to sing and dance.
Yes.
Except without the singing or dancing.
There was singing and dancing, but they didn't escape because of that.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, dude, when you sit there and say it's going to be a musical crossover, you feel like, you know, you feel like it's going to be like High School Musical type of crossover shit.
You thought that there were going to be more songs.
Yes.
Instead of like just four or five.
Like, yeah, there was like three, four, maybe, if that.
So I liked the first, one of the first things I said was everything is better in song. I can get behind that.
I can get behind that.
So,
tell me look more.
This kind of annoyed me, right? Like, I feel like the show set you up to fail.
Oh, dude, tell me more.
Because, right, so Kara, when you first hear her sing, I was thinking, wow, she is flat. Like, I thought she was a better singer than that. Why is she so flat, right?
What?
And, well, she was flat.
You're flat.
And then, immediately after, Music Meister says, that was great, but you were a little flat. Just set me up to fail, dude! Okay. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so now when I'm over here criticizing her for being flat, oh, no, no, she was meant to be flat. Don't get angry, Christian. Fuck off!
Tell me more, bro.
Okay. Wynn is a
dude,
very
it
good
was,
singer.
It was a planned thing, and that's okay. Like, what's wrong with that, bro?
Nothing, nothing. I just,
why does that make you angry?
I don't know.
Tell me about your problems.
Wynn can sing very
dude,
well.
Everybody on the CW can probably sing for
no,
some
the
reason.
People who couldn't sing, they just kind of pushed him aside. And they're like, you're not going to be in your flashback in the universe.
Well, we know Cisco can sing.
Yeah, we knew that.
Wynn can sing.
He really well.
Joe can sing.
We knew
Martin
that, yeah.
Martin can kind of sing.
Victor Garber did Broadway, so yeah, he can sing. John Barrowman's been itching to sing forever on one of these shows.
I know he has.
So
I love that guy.
And I'm sorry if I destroyed your ears earlier.
Dude, we're a no apologies kind of podcast, so
oh,
if
yeah,
you
well,
didn't
fuck
like
you,
it,
then.
Go fuck yourself, dude.
So what'd you think of the idea, like in this singing universe, that Iris and
dude, that was so funny.
Monella are together, yeah. That was pretty funny.
I thought it was hilarious, to be honest with you. Like, it was just one of those things where they did it because they could.
Dude, so let's talk about, though.
Okay, let's talk about it,
because this is
bro.
Very important, right? Cisco in the regular universe is, like, he's getting insanely powerful. Like, there's, like, no limit to his power almost anymore.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. Joe and Martin Stein were, like, gangsters who were apparently together.
Dude. Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, and Barry was like, you guys are together? And like, you got a problem with that?
He's like, no, I like musicals. that was like the funniest thing ever. Yeah. Apparently all gay people like I don't think they intended it for it to come out that way.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but
You can you know, take it as that way, because that what was said, you know.
Yeah, take it how you want. Right in the bumhole. So what did you think of, like, the classic, you know, kiss will wake you up thing?
That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was really sad when that was happening, you know. But
what? What is with you and
okay,
you fucking weeping willow-ass
I didn't weep
motherfucker.
At that point, right? But when Barry was singing to Iris, that was very sad. And then when you were proposed, I almost fell apart, man. I was like,
This is the type of proposal I've been waiting for. You little fucking girl, dude.
No.
Oh,
so,
God.
Who's
going
to sit there and
Brit.
Say they didn't feel weepy watching Barry sing Iris? That was, like, romantic.
Me?
You didn't feel anything.
I mean, I felt giddy and, like, it felt good or whatever, but I didn't feel like I was going to fucking cry.
All right. Well, here's the thing, right?
And then, like,
I'm a romantic.
So am I, dude. Right. Oh, yeah?
I feel like one of the most romantic things you can do is sing to somebody. And I can't sing for shit. So it's very depressing.
That's true.
So when, like, that's what I've always just wanted to do. Like, I learned to play music, and now, like, I can play to people, but there's no from the heart anything, because I can write it, but if someone else is singing it, it seems like it's coming from them and not from me. All right,
I don't get your point in all this, but okay, dude. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. But how ridiculous, dude. Like, fucking Irish is like, really, Barry? You're proposing? Like,
for real this time?
I was like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. What up, peeps?
So Music Meister was really a good guy, guys. He brought everything together.
That was like not even intended for him to say it like that. Like that was his inner homo coming out, dude. You just channeled your inner gay man.
I mean, whatever works, okay? You're just happy we're not face to face staring in your eyes.
Yep. So tell me more, bro.
I really like this episode. Did you really like this episode?
I did, you know, enjoy it, you know, at times.
At times.
What was your grade?
9.2.
9.2. I give it like a 9.0.
All right.
It was pretty
good. Fair enough, yeah.
It was pretty good. And I loved how Kara and Mon-El ended back together. I was like, yes. Because I just feel like myself, like, rooting for Mon-El for some reason. Like,
dude, right? I just like he's that great. Guy. Mon-El is great.
I was just like, yes. Yes. And you want Kara to be happy and like.
Fuck yes, Mon-El. Fuck yes.
Maybe it's because I wish I was in this position. She's so ridiculously hot, dude.
So what you're saying is your eyes weren't crying, but the other things were. What up, young UCE 408?
What the fuck are you doing? You just throw up gang signs? What the fuck just happened, dude? All right, well, that's the flash in the bag.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Legends of Timari. Oh, whoops, I hit the wrong space bar. Oh, yeah, it's my turn.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 15, Fellowship of the Spearer.
Spear.
The Legends land in France during World War I and enlist the aid of J.R.R. Tolkien to retrieve the last pieces of the Spear of Destiny from Legion of Doom. So let's talk about the way they say Tolkien.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for those of you who are offended by it, let me tell you that if he was alive today, he would prefer people to pronounce it the way they did, Tolkien. It is the proper German pronunciation, and he was a stickler for words because, you know, he's a professor of languages. So he would have preferred to be named or be called Tolkien, and I think that's that. But in our world now, we all say Tolkien. That's just how we say his name. So when we hear people say Tolkien, it sounds bad, and we all get annoyed by it. But guys, that is the proper way to pronounce it, so don't freak out.
Sick, dude.
You want?
I don't think I gave a shit about it.
Well, some people do.
I was
people,
like, oh, okay, dude.
People who are like big Tolkien fans might care, or people who, you know, want to give the impression that they are Tolkien fans want to get outraged about things they shouldn't.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I just wanted to let you guys know that. So it appears that the Legion of Doom is at the vanquishing point. Outside of time and all that.
Yes.
And the Legends get all the spear pieces from them.
True.
But it doesn't really matter.
And then apparently only the blood of Jesus Christ can destroy the spear.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
I mean, I think it's all interesting. It's all, you know, mythological and everything.
I thought it was, like, hilarious how, like slowly you just kind of, like, understand that, like, this episode, like, they're trying to, like, refer to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, like, and they used like, fire to reveal the message in the spear. It's like,
like, this was a nod to Lord of the Rings, but, like, trying to say, like, this is where Tolkien got his
ideas
for it.
And it's possible. He was very, very, very religious. I don't know the truth behind the spear of, like, the spear that pierced Christ's side or anything in the Bible. I haven't read any of that. So that's entirely possible. What's up, 916? Holla, holla.
Holla. Hey, yeah. We're a 916 too, bruh.
Yeah.
What up?
So what do you think of Leonard Snart coming back?
Thought it was sick.
Yeah?
Been missing you, bro.
We've been missing you, Wentworth. Where you been?
Yeah, Wentworth. What kind of name is Wentworth? That's some bullshit. Well, if I would have grew up with that name, I'd have, like, came back to my parents someday and be like, the fuck's your problem, man?
This fucks up my plans.
This shit right here fucks up my plans.
Yeah. So I don't know, dude. I didn't like how, like, they were all turning against Mick. Like, I feel like they did that because they needed to motivate him properly toward the end. Like, they haven't all treated him like a villain the entire time.
I mean, they kind of have, though. Like, subtly, you know.
Maybe. I don't know.
But he's always giving them kind of, like, reasons to, though.
Yeah, all he wants to do is eat and steal things and kill people.
And light stuff on fire.
Yeah. Which is fine. Like, that's a thing. But he's been such an integral part of the team. Like, I don't really understand it. Like, all this could have been solved with, like, conversation or talking to somebody, like...
Oh, yeah, dude. Shut the hell up, dude.
False conflict.
Oh, yeah, dude. You can't solve everything by just saying, hey, dude, are you okay?
No, but if you can, and that is... If you can solve it that way...
Dude, Mick's not a man for words. He's a man for action.
That's pretty true. I didn't like Amaya in this episode either. I liked that they were quoting Aragorn. That was cool.
Okay.
So, we all saw Mick's betrayal coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because they made us see it coming.
We seen it.
It's really the Legend's fault for being assholes to him, okay, guys? What do you think about where we end off? The Legion of Doom has the Spear of Destiny because, you know, the Legends are assholes to Mick Rory.
Yep, I seen it coming.
Yeah.
You know, when they stole it, I was like, oh, wow, look, now they all have the Spear of Destiny in one
place.
Why
would they put it back together?
Well, it put itself together.
Yeah, but they could have, like, kept the pieces separate.
Well, I mean, you're right, but you're wrong.
All right. Yeah.
I think Amaya was right. You know, they could have just used it instead of, you know, Shara like, no, I'm the leader.
Yeah, I don't like Syrah. I don't like Sarah.
Yeah, I don't like
leader.
Siri either, you know.
I like Syrup.
She always, like, backtalks me.
Yeah, what's up with that, Siri? Oh, stop talking to me like that. You're a bitch.
Ugh. Anyways.
So, anything else? No, what would you grade it?
I give this one like a 7.5.
Really? That seems pretty low to give it. I would give it an 8. All right, guys. All right, so we're going to talk about Arrow now.
All right, Arrow, Season 5, Episode 17, Capuchin. It's a funny one. I don't even know what that word means. All right. Prometheus goes to extreme lengths to destroy Oliver. In flashbacks, Oliver's violent tendencies comes to a head in a confrontation with Anatoly. Sorry. Yes.
And holy shit does it. Dude, he fucking skinned a guy.
Dude. This episode was amazing.
Was it?
It was... Yes.
How did Oliver not know what he wanted him to confess, though? Right.
Well, I mean,
like, we all know, like, it's I'm a monster. That's what he wants him to say.
Well,
right?
We know it because we're watching the flashbacks. Oliver's not literally having the flashback as the episode's happening, dude. But what is more curious to me is how does he keep quoting exact things that are being said to Oliver?
Right. Like, and I was starting to think. I was like, whoa. Like, is he, like? One of their kids, like, but no, because how would he have known that unless, like, Anatoly or something told him? But then again, he confirms to us that this guy, this white dude, is my dad.
Right. I don't know, dude. It's so confusing because, like, he's literally taking exact quotes and, like, going down a memory trip laying with fucking Oliver in his dungeon and shit. And I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't like it. I liked it.
And that shit with, like, Evelyn?
Yeah, that was weird. That was crazy.
That was messed up, man. He's like, you guys have to kill each other. And Oliver's like, I ain't killing no one. And then, like, she set it up anyway. That was messed up, man. Yep.
That was nuts.
Who knew Oliver Queen went that dark in Russia? Like, that dark.
Oh, yeah, dude. And, like, who knew, like he, like, literally created, like, an alternate persona, like, you know? Like, that's who the Arrow was, like, really originally was, you know?
Yeah.
It was the thing that allowed him to kill. Like, I mean, we didn't even address that last week. That came out last week, and we forgot to address it.
What was that? Sorry.
I mean, I don't even think you'd listen to me half the time.
I was sorry. I was reading something.
I
apologize.
Tell me. This is...
Tell you what I was reading? I was reading about how Oliver killed Constantine Kovar, but
who sent you?
Malcolm Merlyn brought him back to life.
Who sent you?
Nobody. Nobody sent me.
Yeah.
There's no one here.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot that happened, but there was so much like character development that happened.
Yeah, Oliver. No. I disagree. You know what happened? Oliver quit.
Oliver quit. Yes.
He's like, guys,
that is something that happened.
I am no longer the Green Arrow.
True story.
Like it, I'm shutting it all down, dude. Put the shutters and the blinds up.
Yeah, that shit was nutty. Dude, this was like probably one of my favorite Arrow episodes ever.
It was very good. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like bad really you can say about it. I mean, I felt like they spent a lot of time in Russia, but pretty necessary. Like,
I thought it was great. I don't know. Like, I love that shit, dude.
Dude, I hate like the idea of like neuron gas and stuff, like gas that like affects your body that way. Like they had like the same thing in 24 for one of the seasons, and I had a hard time watching it. Like just seeing how it affects people, oh, it's just awful. It's just awful.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's real. Knowing that it's a real thing, it's
yeah. It's pretty terrifying to think about like chemical warfare and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Things like mustard gas and whatnot.
Ugh.
God. Yeah. Absolutely terrifying.
Chase is terrifying.
Chase is a little terrifying. Oh, I hella thought like so like it kind of misleading. Like, when, like, they had Kovar on, like, the operating table, I hella thought they were going to, like, reveal him as, like, Chase. And I was like, what? I was like, what the hell? This is so random.
Dude, at one point, I was like, hold on. Is Chase Merlin's son? Like, why is Merlin in the episode, right?
Yeah, dude, that was confusing. Like, I was like, what?
And I was like, well, maybe he's Merlin's son. Maybe because Oliver technically did kill him. But
true.
I mean, he's still alive and stuff. So, I don't know. I thought this episode was really good.
What would you grade it?
I'd give it a 9.6.
I would give it a 9.9.
All right. Fair enough.
So, at the end of our episodes, we like to give winners and losers of the week. Obviously, for me, Arrow was the winner and Legends was the loser.
Yeah, it's the same for me.
Same, but different?
No, not different, just same.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
So, just real quick, some shout-outs. Nicholas J., thank you, mate. You're great on Twitter.
Awesome, dude!
Everybody go follow him, please.
He's now.
And he works, he does some work for another shout-out that we do, Reality Comics. It's social media for nerds. They also do like reviews and things on there. So you can go check all of that out. It's great. Great.
More great stuff.
The Nerd Variety Show podcast. Check them out. Great people in Virginia. I know I'm on
everything's
the great,
great.
Role. Yeah. Everything's great. Listen to them. They have some great insights.
Oh yeah, dude. Tell me more, bro.
Also, some scheduling news. We'll probably be doing Iron Fist next weekend, the weekend of the 1st.
Doesn't matter. Next weekend, okay?
Yeah, the weekend of the 1st. And we might be seeing Power Rangers. We're not sure yet. But if we do, we'll either do a podcast for it or we will discuss it briefly on one of our regular podcasts.
Correct.
So, for all you Radgies out there, Jordy Shore comes back Tuesday.
Yay! Can't wait.
I hope you guys, if you guys live in the U.S. and you liked Jersey Shore, go to, like, MTV UK or MTV Australia and watch a show called Jordy Shore. It's amazing. It's, like,
it's
the
hilarious.
Same thing, but in a town called Newcastle in the northeast of England. Just go watch it, guys. It's amazing.
Yep. I think that's all we got for you guys this week on Nerdy Boys Reviews. As always, I'm your host, or we are your host.
I'm your host, Nerdy Boy Scott. The other guy can fuck up. Goodbye.
Yeah, because everything's fucking great, huh, Christian?
Hunky dory.
Oakley dockley.
Oh, God.
Dude, that's so funny.
All right, guys.
Inside joke.
If you like, just imagine going to two different comic book stores and having two variations of the same child molester. It's kind of true, right?
What?
And then Daniel's their bastard son.
Daniel's their bastard son. fuck.
All right. Anyway, sorry, inside jokes. He's Nerdy Boy Scott. Go ahead, say it again.
You know, I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And together we are the destroyers of the world. I'm just kidding.
We are the Austrian destroyers of the world.
Of the world. Yeah, guys, stay nerdy and stuff.
Yeah, one simple message for you. Stay nerdy, boy. You're not saying it. Guys, we're